Welcome to Tipping Point, daily in-depth news and conversation about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Eric Smith, in today for Zach Yenser. Don't forget to join the conversation live by calling into our live line using 520-790-2040. Today we're going to be talking about startups. In the realm of this pandemic that we're all going through, companies are facing challenges, and our startups are not immune. Tucson has quite a few startups roaming around, and we're going to highlight a couple of them today. My day job, I'm the executive director at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation. We're the university's startup incubator network, and we serve startups that come from the community, that come from the university, or from around the world. We work with close to 30 startups, and today we're going to be talking to two of them. Our first guest today is Buck Strasser. He's with a fintech startup called ClearCore. Welcome, Buck.
Hey, thank you, Eric. It's great to be on.
Fantastic. So I'd love to go right in. Let's start with you, though. Buck, tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit of your background.
Yeah, well, first, I'm a longtime listener, first time on the show, so really excited to be here on the Tipping Point. I've spent the last decade helping financial institutions, especially community financial institutions, your local banks, your credit unions, stand up business intelligence units and data science programs. And that's really been my focus after graduating from college here in Arizona.
Fantastic. Did you graduate from the University of Arizona?
Actually, Northern Arizona University is where I ended up finishing. Started here in Tucson, but moved up north to get a little chance of the cooler weather.
Right, escape that heat. So tell us about ClearCore.
Yeah, ClearCore, we really level the playing field for community and regional financial institutions when they look to compete with really your top five or six top tier banks. We do that by giving them actionable insight into their account holders or members. You know, when a national bank opens a branch in a community, that's a good thing. When a local financial institution opens their doors in the same community, it's a great thing. And to help keep these local institutions open in business, we deliver really the lifeblood of good strategic planning, of good decision-making, and that's clean data. ClearCore gives an institution the benefits of having an entire business intelligence team and all the data science trimmings in a nice, secure box. And that includes everything from predictive analytics that prevents fraud to data modeling that can help improve profitability and engagement.
That's fantastic. So talk to me more about the why. Why is this data so important? And give maybe an example, if you can, on what a small financial institution can do with this data.
Absolutely. You know, when you look at decision-making, you always want to be informed as possible. For these local financial institutions, they're working with hundreds, sometimes even thousands of different systems that are generating their own data. And it can be very difficult to bridge the gap between all of these systems. Another side effect is the data is really dirty, and that means it's missing, it's incorrect. And if you're working with bad data, it just leads you to bad decisions. So in order for these credit unions, for these community banks, for these regional banks to better understand their members, to really look at growing profitability, to make sure they're putting the right products in front of the right members, and to also, you know, even protecting their members' secure information, they need that clean data to execute on the level that the national banks have already figured out. So this goes not only into the day-to-day operations of everything, but it also goes into that community outreach, the community development and marketing side of the house. But it also plays a huge role in them understanding their key metrics. And by bundling this all up, by using everything from artificial intelligence to, you know, the fancy math algorithms that we're really excited about here, we automate all of that process. So it also takes a lot of the burden off of their internal IT teams and gives their internal IT teams the ability to respond to the in-house issues that they're facing. So it's really a comprehensive solution for their entire organization to be able to all be on the same page, looking at the same numbers and speaking the same language.
That makes total sense. So, you know, arguably, clean and secure data and the ability to make decisions based on that data would be beneficial for many organizations, right? So tell me, Buck Strasser with a local startup, ClearCore, why first focus on financial institutions? Is it because of your background? Is it because there's a bigger pain point for this customer group than others? Why start there?
You know, for us, it was, for myself, it was the background that influenced that. But as we started looking at the market, we saw that the challenges facing the financial institution, we knew that if we could solve those challenges with all the different systems, that if we could apply it there, if it worked there, then we could start applying it to any business within Southern Arizona. And so for us, this financial institution proving ground will really show us in a tangible way the benefits of clean data that might not be as prevalent or easy to prove out in other institutions. And, you know, for us, we also see the economic benefit of a financial institution on the community. You know, being able to return anywhere from 12 to 20 times the everything from lending to just economic growth compared to just a chain bank opening a branch, that gave us a lot more bang for our buck.
Absolutely. So let's talk timeline for a little bit. So how long have you been, you know, really working on this startup? And maybe give us, you know, a couple of wins or some recent successes that you've had that you were able to obtain as you work on this company.
Yeah, we launched in 2018, and it was actually a focus just on preventing card fraud. And, you know, as we took that to market, as we started talking to community leaders in the financial space, we realized that the same thing that we're doing for fraud and protecting their members, they wanted to apply that to a bigger scope. So that was our first major pivot, and we actually were able to start expanding this technology to encompass everything really at the start of 2020. And that was really our first big win, not only getting that feedback, but we're also able to partner with the University of Arizona's incubator, the Center for Innovation, then as well. And we're actually on our second National Science Foundation grant that we're just finishing up now. So those two grants, being able to partner with the incubator, have really been the last three major wins for us. And, you know, it's really changed, even in light of COVID, how optimistic we are and how excited we are for our potential growth.
Great. So we've got a couple minutes before the break. You mentioned a couple National Science Foundation grants. Can you elaborate a little bit more on, in the next minute or so, on what some of that activity is under that grant?
Absolutely. They reviewed our technology, said it's new, it's novel, it's high impact, and they gave us a grant to really start reaching out to more financial institutions to understand their pain points, how we can take the technology we've built here and take it off of the bench, out of the lab, and put it into the real world. So we're on our second one. This one's on a national scale that we're on now. And we've gotten so much insight from this. We're really, really excited for our results.
Absolutely fantastic. So, you know, we've got to go to break here in just a moment. And what I want to focus on when we come back from the break is I want to focus a little bit on why Tucson, why the incubator. But before we do, I think we might have a phone-in question for you, which is fantastic. Once again, if you have a question, 520-790-2040. But let's go to Ingrid. Ingrid, what do you want to ask Buck?
Good morning. I'd like to know if this technique for cleansing data is transferable to testing the data, for instance, of the blood tests that we do for the virus, the famous virus. We get a lot of crazy reports. People are being told that they're positive when they weren't even tested. Are you able to transfer your research into that area? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks a lot. Bye.
That's a great question. You know, that kind of bleeds into talking about some of the benefits of being here at the incubator, looking at the other problems that people are working on. This technology is 100% transferable to other problems. And since we're able to clean up the data, we're able to humanize it. So we focus on an individual and their experience with the outside world. There's a lot of huge potential for us to be able to provide those services and crunch data a lot faster, being able to do stuff in seconds and minutes instead of hours or days. So a lot of potential impact there, a lot of potential good that this technology can do. Great question.
So, Buck, just to follow along on that, you know, looking at the environment that we find ourselves in now, is there a plan to shift? Are you finding some customer pull to head in that direction to help use your technology? Or are you really staying laser focused on your work with financial institutions?
You know, especially for the rest of this year, staying really laser focused on the financial institutions. And that's a couple of reasons for that. One is really proving out the technology before we introduce it to any other areas. Really staying focused on financial institutions also gives us the benefit of being really specific when we look at bringing in resources. We just hired our first intern forward this summer. So being able to prove out, solve one specific problem before we branch out and spread ourselves too thin is really important to our operating strategy here.
Fantastic. All right, we're going to head off to break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Tucson, Southern Arizona, and how ClearCore fits with us here. So once again, you are listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
The Tucson Museum of Art is preparing to reopen after COVID-related closures and are excited to introduce in July 2020 the new Kasser Family Wing. The new wing will allow visitors to experience 3,000 plus years of Latin American history at the Tucson Museum of Art, where you can explore works of art from ancient to contemporary and one of the only exhibits in the country like it. TMA is excited to welcome visitors under new safety protocols. Visit TucsonMuseumOfArt.org to plan your visit. 25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008. Tucson, if you're like me and my family, COVID-19 has made us take a hard look at our finances and financial planning. If that's you too, give my friends at MassMutual a call at 274-3749. They can help you navigate through these challenging times, integrate your insurance and investments with a purpose and a plan, and create a holistic financial strategy that works for you. Call them at 274-3749 to get started. Hey Tucson, Zach Yenser here, and I'm excited to celebrate a business that is near and dear to my heart and making it through COVID-19 successfully. Decibel Coffee Works is excited to announce they are open again for your business from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the MSA Annex, just a block west of the 10 on Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Come on by for a quick cup of quality roasted hot or cold brew, or get free shipping when you order two or more bags of coffee online. Head to DecibelCoffeeWorks.com for more info.
Welcome back to Tipping Point, daily in-depth news and conversation about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. Again, today we're talking about startups, their journeys here in Tucson, and the COVID-19 pivots that they find themselves having to make. On with Buck Strasser right now from local startup ClearCore. Buck, you dove in quite a bit about your company, about the problem you're solving, and who you're solving it for in the first segment. So I want to talk a little bit about Tucson. You could do this anywhere, right? Especially now in the virtual world, you certainly can choose to place your company anywhere. Why are you here in Tucson, and what does Tucson kind of mean to you in the context of your company?
So Tucson is, we're very data driven, and Tucson has been consistently ranked as an emerging city for top tech talent. Myself, my co-founders here, we all have experience in a lot of other tech hubs across the U.S. When we came together, we talked about the potential that we saw here in Southern Arizona, not only to continue to grow, but being the painful optimists that we are and most entrepreneurs are, we see Tucson as being a spot that could eventually take over as the top tech hub in the United States. And we really want to be a part of that growth, a part of that legacy that's to come.
Fantastic. So One mantra that I tend to have is that it takes a village, right? It takes a village to raise a startup. So what has this village here in Tucson done for you? What are some of the resources or organizations or people that have helped you on your journey while you've done it here in Tucson?
So I have to give a shout out to the Center of Innovation, University of Arizona's incubator here. They've been one of, if not the biggest ally of ours here locally, and have really helped us plug in to the Tucson community and take advantage of a lot of the resources here. I've also had great success engaging with TechLaunch Arizona, the Arizona Technology Council, and of course, a couple of our credit unions here in Tucson have really been able to not only give us the resources, the physical resources we needed, but maybe more importantly, access to people and ideas.
That's great. So as you look to the future, do you plan on hiring local talent? Is that a big focus for you?
It really is. And you know, when we looked at where do we want to plan our startup, where do we want our first, you know, couple decades of growth to be, the University of Arizona's talent is really second to none. We looked at not only the tangible skills that they came out of the university with, but also the thought process they have. I'm really able to bring in a really diverse group, which is important to us to bring those different ideas. And they're also, as we're finding out with our first intern, very fearless. They have all these great ideas, and they're not afraid to test them in the real world. So that local talent has been a big draw for us.
That's fantastic. So you mentioned you now have this intern, your team is growing, you're finding opportunity, you've got some grants going. So you're finding some success in what you're working on here. And you've decided, you mentioned that you planted it at our incubator, and I certainly appreciate the plug there. What are some of the things that that UACI has been able to do for you?
I think the most notable for us is they've helped us move out of our garages and coffee shops and put a roof over our heads. We kind of underestimated the value of having the team have a common point to meet and collaborate. But I would say going even further, they've given us access to, you know, I mentioned the expertise and the ideas, but a level of mentorship that I don't even know if we knew that we were missing. So being able to have people that they've been there, they've done it before, they can share their experiences and stories, and they can really relate to us in a very real world way has really helped us move from, you know, just an idea, move from the hypothetical to real world application. And that's been invaluable.
Oh, well, we certainly appreciate having you as well. So the Center for Innovation, the University of Arizona Center for Innovation, we have, as I mentioned before, close to 30 startups. And, you know, as you would imagine, during COVID-19, it's difficult for any startup to you know, really maintain the trajectory, at least in the same way that they were doing, let's say, back in February. Happy to report that at our incubator, we have not lost a single startup. In other words, not one startup has had to shut their doors yet. We're very proud of that. And that's due to some significant pivots. So, Buck, in ClearCore, in the last 5 months or so, have you had to make pivots to maintain your trajectory and keep going with your company?
Yeah, we've definitely pivoted to increase the scope of application for our technology, you know, be able to apply it from previously was very narrow, focused on just fraud, to now really any problem that's facing a financial institution. So that's been our biggest pivot, is just making this more accessible, more usable for more people. And we continue to plan that expansion to move, as we mentioned before, outside of the financial institutions.
Are you finding, give us the inside story here, are you finding that our local financial institutions are too struggling during this time, or are they hanging in there?
They're hanging in there. They've got a lot of tenacity. They're really a model for what Tucson business comes to mean, that they're innovating, they're finding new ways to stay in business. But there are struggles. You know, we want to, everyone's running at 110%, and we know that you can't continue that forever without getting burnt out. So the financial institutions, you know, again, being so open to new ideas, to recognizing the value of data, and they're actually doing a great job from all the, you know, the areas that we've interviewed so far of really you know, kind of scraping together and being really scrappy and finding their own solutions now. And we're excited to be able to help them to continue to grow and explore in that way.
Certainly is encouraging. So in the last few minutes that we have here, what's next for Buck Strasser, your team, and ClearCore? Where are you heading?
You know, we're really focused on wrapping up all of our research for this grant. We're going to be publishing that paper out this fall. So excited for that. We're focused on our beta partners for right now to proving out the technology for through the end of the year. And next year, we've got a long line of people knocking at the door to help us grow, to start leveraging the product. So I think it's going to explode for us next year, and it's going to be a focus on bringing in more of that local talent to help support the explosive growth.
That sounds certainly exciting. And so, you know, being that you have listeners right now, our community, hearing your story, if we wanted to help you, if the community wanted to help ClearCore in your success path, what are some things that you need? What are some things that we can do to help?
Immediate kind of call to action right now is we'd love to continue our interviews for this National Science Foundation. If they visit our website, clearcore.us, you can reach us there and volunteer to be part of this national interview search. And we definitely want to keep an Arizona flavor to that because that's near and dear to our hearts.
And so remind us again, specifically, what's the archetype of the company or people that you're trying to interview to get this information to implement into your strategy?
Anybody that interacts with or especially works at a financial institution, local financial institutions are definitely preferred, but people that are really excited about innovation and that also play a role in innovation at their financial institution are top of our list for research.
Great. And people can reach you, did you say, through your website?
Through our website, clearcore.us, that gives you all the different abilities to reach us, whether it's through web or phone. Probably not doing any handshakes anytime soon, but digital channels are completely open.
Fantastic. Well, Buck, thank you so much for joining me here this morning, for telling a little bit of your story, talking about ClearCore and kind of where you're heading. I know it's encouraging for other entrepreneurs in Tucson to hear about the great work you're doing, and certainly we will want to make sure that we keep track of you. So thanks again, Buck. Appreciate you being here. When we get back, we're going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to talk about food with our next guest, John DeLorenzo with Desert Pearl Mushrooms. Again, you are listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news.
The Tucson Museum of Art is preparing to reopen after COVID-related closures and are excited to introduce in July 2020 the new Kasser Family Wing. The new wing will allow visitors to experience 3,000 plus years of Latin American history at the Tucson Museum of Art, where you can explore works of art from ancient to contemporary and one of the only exhibits in the country like it. TMA is excited to welcome visitors under new safety protocols. Visit TucsonMuseumOfArt.org to plan your visit. What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more. Why I Love Where I Live.com. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many local businesses right now, their physical location at the MSA Annex is dealing with changes to hours and operation, but I'm so proud of how they've pivoted to online sales and a virtual website tour of their brand new space so you can see what they're up to. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now and buy local to invest in the people that keep our economy going. Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
Welcome back to Tipping Point, daily in-depth news and conversation about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. Tucson, if you're like me and my family, COVID-19 has made us take a hard look at our finances and financial planning. If that's you too, give my friends at MassMutual a call at 274-3749. They can help you navigate through these challenging times, integrate your insurance and investments with a purpose and a plan, and create a holistic financial strategy that works for you. Again, call them at 274-3749 to get started. As we continue through the show here this morning, just like to mention that you can join the conversation by calling into our live line using 520-790-2040. So again, today we're talking about startups, how they're moving through Tucson, taking advantage of our local resources and pivoting during the time of COVID-19. In the first half of the hour here, we had Buck Strasser with local startup ClearCore. And now we're going to talk with John DeLorenzo of startup Desert Pearl Mushrooms. Welcome, John.
Hi, Eric. Thanks for having me today.
Absolutely. My pleasure. John, we'll just get started. Talk a little bit about you. What's your background and what are you working on there with Desert Pearl Mushrooms?
Yeah, thanks. My background, well, I'm originally a transplant from New York. I moved to Tucson about 20 years ago with my folks, and I attended the University of Arizona, where I studied chemistry and Italian. I graduated in 2016 with some of the other partners in Desert Pearl Mushrooms, and in addition to being part owner, I'm currently acting as CFO and spare deckhand. Got some experience in a few other startups here in Tucson, and I love it here. We're here to stay.
Right. Spare deckhand. I love it. Oftentimes, I tell people when you're working on a startup, you might do everything from call customers to run teams to take out the trash, right?
Yes, all of the above and more.
So you mentioned you're a graduate. Are a lot of your team members alumni of the University of Arizona?
Yeah, our core partners are all U of A alumni. One other member I would consider part of our family is Laura Brem. She went to school in Maine. She grew up in Maine. She's very much involved in our company, although she operates a food distribution company in and around Tucson. It's called Laura's Locals. So she hails from University of Maine, but we consider her part of our family here in Tucson.
You've adopted her, per se, right?
So, yeah.
So this team of mostly University of Arizona graduates came together. You created this company, Desert Pearl Mushrooms. Tell me specifically, what does this company do? What are you working on?
Well, Desert Pearl Mushrooms, we're a locally grown specialty mushroom farm. You know, we produce various mushrooms for gourmet culinary use and medicinal use. We focus mostly on strains that are generally difficult to grow in Arizona. So, you know, although we bring to market fresh quality mushrooms, we also do dried whole mushrooms and mushroom supplements, things that you normally wouldn't want to eat, kind of like in the fresh preparation. They need to go in the form of a pill or you know, something a little more palatable. You know, part of the challenge of growing mushrooms in Arizona is that it's so hot, so dry, and a lot of the varieties of mushrooms that we produce are used to growing in cold and foggy highlands, fallen trees, dead logs, things where moss grows, other other organisms take hold of the growing media. Some of our growing media that we simulate are even similar to live caterpillars. You know, mushrooms grow in all sorts of different varieties of growing media, and our company kind of specializes in reproducing those growing conditions for mushrooms to thrive in, you know, the dry Tucson desert basin.
So, you know, maybe without giving away the secret sauce, is this, you know, a process, a new scientific method that you're working on? What makes you able to do this here in Arizona, and how much can you produce right now?
Yeah, you know, some of our growing techniques we borrow from age-old traditions that have gone on since the age of time. You know, 2,000-year-old growing processes that we've borrowed from other cultures, Asian cultures, and some things that we've innovated upon include controlling our environment. So everybody in our team has some science or engineering background, and we're all amateur mycologists. So we've learned our experience to trying to figure out, you know, the balance between oxygen, carbon dioxide, humidity, temperature, pressure, all of that. It kind of goes into some of our proprietary systems and composition for growing media. They kind of make it so we could grow our stuff almost anywhere. I mean, we do have a pretty large operation as far as how much can we produce. At this point, we're able to produce about 200 pounds per week. At one point, we were up to about 300 pounds per week. And, you know, with the current economy, we're producing a lot less, but we do have the capacity to grow about four times more than what we're producing right now. So we recently moved. I can't recall if you've seen photographs or if you actually visited our new facility, but it's a lot bigger than our previous.
Yes, I have been there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think for the average person like me, I never would have guessed that, you know, the way in which you can produce something as simple as mushrooms, which, mind you, I used in my cooking last night, requires so much scientific thought to do it in this way, and especially in this environment. And 300 pounds per week for, again, the average person seems like a lot of mushrooms. But you spoke about, you know, doing three or four times that. What do you do with these mushrooms after you've, you know, gone through your process and developed what normally couldn't be developed right here in Tucson?
Well, most of our product we sell as fresh mushrooms. So Laura, as I mentioned before, she works in and around Tucson, and you know, she sells our products at various community supported agricultural associations like Tucson TSA, Pivot TSA. A lot of that has to be prepared fresh. So when you think of a mushroom, it's the organism itself is mostly underground. It's kind of like the tip of the iceberg is what you see at a grocery store. So you see the fruiting body of a mushroom. So a lot has to be done I want to say that it produces a lot of waste, but we don't have a lot of waste. We try to recycle our growing media. We try to minimize the amount of processing to our actual produce. So some of the mushroom supplements that we produce, Lion's Mane as a variety of mushroom can be produced for gourmet purposes, culinary purposes, or as medicinal preparations. You know, it's great in the use as a simulated crab meat if you want to make crab cakes. I mean, that's minimal processing, right? You throw it in a food processor. Or if you want to take it as a supplement for brain health, we dry it, we grind it down. It's, you know, we can offer it as a dried whole mushroom or as a powdered supplement. We sell bulk powders or encapsulated, you know, bulk supplements. So the processing isn't really, it's not too technically difficult. We just, you know, basically we can dry things. We can cut them up to how customers want. Really what we pride ourselves in is the ability to grow mushrooms that you wouldn't typically be able to in Arizona. And maybe I'm running on a little bit. Stop me here.
No, that's quite all right. So, you know, I'm used to what I would see in the grocery store, those little bulbs that come in the cardboard packages. You know, but for a lot of us, we don't really know quite the variety or the various uses. I mean, you mentioned in brain health. Is there really a market out there for all these mushrooms?
Oh yeah, there is a worldwide market for mushrooms, but you know, one of the obstacles for our company is that mushrooms have a shelf life that can range anywhere from as little as a few days up to a few weeks. So most mushrooms have to be produced in generally the region that you want to sell in. So you know, the market in Tucson, it is kind of small. We're looking to expand up to the, you know, the Phoenix area and really take over a large portion of the southwestern United States eventually. But we know that we're going to have to expand our operations to beyond just Tucson. Tucson can sustain our farm and its current size and capacity. But we've talked to other interested parties who are willing to help us look at expanding our operations out of state, you know, friends from school, people we've worked with in the past, people that we trust. And a lot of the processes that we've developed over the last year and a half, it's not something we just want to publish on the internet and, you know, wait for an onslaught of community feedback to help us grow our business, which is one of the reasons why we partner with some other business minds in Tucson. Maybe I'm jumping the gun here, but I want to mention that, you know, the University of Arizona Center for Innovation, your organization has done a huge amount of help for our company, and I think really identifying market size in our current composition of how many people we've got in our company, that's something that the UACI has been working to help us with, and then figure out, you know, when can we start adding more employees and identify the market size that we have to hit to justify additional employees and so on.
So, you know, common theme for, I guess, the hour here is planning for growth, which you don't always hear about, you know, in the context of a pandemic, but it's great to hear. So we're going to go for a break now. When we get back, I want to talk a little bit more about your work here in Tucson and the pivots that you're having to make over the last few months. So once again, 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll be right back.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Friday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more. 25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008. Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
Welcome back to Tipping Point, daily in-depth news and conversation about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. We're on right now with John DiLorenzo of Desert Pearl Mushrooms. We're talking about the science behind his company's work and how they're doing that here in Tucson. So didn't know we could have such a lively conversation around what we would normally just consider food we pick up at the grocery store. If you have a question for John, join the conversation by calling into our live line using 520-790-2040. So back again with John. So John, You mentioned that there are, you know, many different uses for the product that you're selling to the market. And sometimes we hear about, you know, dangerous mushrooms or mushrooms that are poisonous. Is that a worry for us here in Tucson, Arizona? Do we have to watch out for certain kinds?
It's not a problem if you buy from, you know, a professionally catered mushroom source like Desert Pearl Mushrooms. We, you know, we've got expertise that we rely on from the University of Arizona to ensure that we're not just growing any random wild strain. You know, we focus on ones that have been well identified. You know, we've partnered in the past with Michael Katz to help source our product and growing media. So I wouldn't go out to the desert and start eating wild mushrooms, but if you go to the grocery store, you know, some of our distributors like Laura's Locals or the Heirloom Farmers Markets, the Food Bank Farmers Markets, they won't sell you stuff that's going to get you messed up.
Noted. So be careful out there. So you mentioned, I'm going to switch gears a little bit. You mentioned farmers markets, you mentioned grocery stores and restaurants, you know, as being how you get your product out and ultimately fund the R&D to further develop your science. You know, in the last few months, I know me personally, I certainly have gone to the grocery store a lot less. It's coming to me, and I haven't been to a farmer's market in a little bit, admittedly. Are you finding that that this revenue stream for your startup is slowing due to the pandemic?
Yeah, certainly. You know, before the pandemic, our chicken and egg problem was figuring out whether to produce more mushrooms or find potential buyers. Now with COVID-19, we're facing decreased sales and purchase orders that have been paused. So we're looking to new and innovative products, and we've even pivoted a little bit to business to business, products and services to keep revenue flowing. Our sales activity for fresh mushrooms has dropped from, you know, what it was before, down by about 60-70%, and so we've had to supplement our product line really with you know, other products and even consulting for other mushroom enthusiasts. And we've started producing home grow kits. We've started producing professionally prepared growing media that we have for sale in bulk. You know, it's actually funny, our Horizon projects that we had planned for a couple of years out, we've now had to bring to the forefront, like really blowing out our social media presence, really trying to get our name out there. And we've had a lot of help from the community. You know, there's a lot of companies that have put their faith in us, mostly restaurants and some of the farmers markets. I'm not really sure if I should be name dropping, but we basically sell to a lot of the upscale restaurants that have entrusted us with, you know, their purchase orders for specialty mushrooms like the Westin, Maynard's, Canyon Ranch, you know, Arizona Inn. You can actually get our specialty mushrooms on pizza if you go to Flora. It's really great what you can do with mushrooms and different recipes. So, you know, with the pandemic, we also used it as a jumping off point, really, to get a little fire under our seats. We were faced with either staying at our current facility, which, you know, if you look at our company a year and a half ago, it started in a backyard. It was a backyard aquaponics and greenhouse operation. I joined the company later in September of 2019, but our founders, Jorge Sepulveda and Christopher Savage, they started it as a backyard hobby, and then they found out soon after that they could monetize the mushrooms, which they were using to help control oxygen and carbon dioxide levels, because there were some pretty good margins for the specialty stuff. And you know, we were happy in that backyard operation, cottage industry, if you will. And when the pandemic hit, it was, you know, we were looking at maybe growing our operation to producing upwards of 2,000 pounds per week, but we were trying to find buyers to suit that. And then a pandemic hit, and we realized, okay, there's no way we're going to sell 2,000 pounds per week in a few months. But do we move forward? So we figured, okay, well, it's going to push us to to produce more, to learn more of the hard lessons if we just jump in. So we rented out a space. We're down on Speedway and I-10. And it gave us a good head start because there were a lot more problems growing into a bigger facility than we originally anticipated. And you know, the pandemic has been a good thing for us in that sense because we've been forced to face our fears and overcome new obstacles. And we feel a lot better about growing organically with the market now that we're in a better facility.
I love it. Growing organically with the market, no pun intended, right? So, you know, interesting. Our last guest is you know, really having to pivot and you know, support their company through help from organizations that serve startups. And in your case, you're pivoting and receiving help from a lot of our local restaurants and inns and places that we all know very well are helping you to support this. And you mentioned as well, so Tucson has to be, you know, fairly important for you and a good launching place, I assume. But you mentioned earlier on that one of the pivots you're making is from B2C or business to consumer, where you're selling at farmers markets and to restaurants and things of that nature, to B2B or business to business. Can you spend about a minute or so talking about what that looks like?
Yeah, in a sense, it's mostly consulting because a lot of people are trying to figure out how to grow some of these mushrooms at home for their own use. And some of them see the light where, okay, this could generate some revenue for me, maybe some side revenue because they don't have the facility to grow a couple thousand pounds per week. But they will purchase a lot of products that we prepare, like the growing media. And, you know, the consulting side is mostly like, you know, maybe tweaking their growing conditions because, you know, you've got multivariable factors that are influencing one thing. So it's when you play whack-a-mole, you hit one mole, another one pops up. But growing mushrooms, you hit one mole, three more moles pop up. It's not really the same balance with the, you know, maybe one or two variables. But we've got, you know, temperature, humidity, pressure, even the material itself, because mushrooms, they will take, you know, a certain composition of proteins and then turn it into a different composition of proteins. And that's all very complex.
Interesting.
So we spend some time on the phone, and we also sell our own materials to other businesses.
Okay, so you're making all of these pivots. It seems like you're finding some success. You've actually the pandemic has you take really a big leap much sooner than you would have before, and it sounds like you're finding some success. So, what's next for Desert Pearl Mushrooms? Are we going to see, you know, small operations pop up in the corner of, you know, grocery store parking lots so that you can get mushrooms grown, you know, fresh to the facility? You mentioned shelf life is an issue. Are we going to see more medicinal products coming from Desert Pearl Mushrooms? What's next?
Well, right now on our website, desertmushroom.com, we only have fresh mushrooms. We've got some mushroom blocks up there for sale. But what we're looking to really push is our mushroom supplements because that's growing in popularity. You check on Amazon, eBay, you know, any other distributor of health supplements, even Walgreens, CVS, you see mushroom supplement capsules on their shelves. So we'd like to enter that, you know, talking to various distributors about the different product lines, like, you know, grocery stores, that's one. And, you know, eventually you might see our product and our brand on a CVS shelf. That's where we'd like to be. But we will have to start growing into other states, different markets with satellite locations. And we're trying to build that model here in Tucson first and then hopefully around the Southwest and eventually across the country.
There you go. You heard it. Look out for this product at CVS. We're going to hold you to it now. So fantastic.
That's the bar.
Well, John, you know, thank you so much for joining me here this morning. If the community wants to help, how can they reach you?
Well, reach us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, website, desertmushroom.com, Laura's Locals, Sunday and Friday Heirloom Farmers Markets, Thursday morning at Food Bank Farmers Markets. My email is, you know, our main email is sales@desertmushroom.com. And, you know, I'd be happy to chat with anybody via email or, you know, maybe through the UACI.
Well, fantastic. Well, great. Thank you, John, for being with us here today. And that'll wrap up our show. Thank you for listening. Again, this is 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.